Hello, friends. This is Ted Marr with the Out of This World radio program, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle here in the United States and North America on planet Earth. During the first hour, we had a fascinating interview during the first half hour with Dr. Louise Angel, Dr. Angel Louise Fernandez of the Peace and Light Conference in the Dominican Republic, which will be held August 19th. 20th and 21st. For those interested in attending, I'd like to give out their website again. It's www.paxluxmundi. That's paxluxmundi.com. I'll be one of the keynote speakers there, and it's going to be a wonderful, fantastic conference. So I urge all of you to attend if you can. That'll be in the Dominican Republic again from August 19th, 20th, and 21st. Second, I wanted to tell everyone that my guest for this hour, Dr. Walter Simcoe, is now in a hospital in San Francisco. He's having some health difficulties. He can't come on today. I'm just postponing his interview. He's a fascinating man. He's written some incredibly interesting books on reincarnation, including one book called The Return of the Revolutionaries, where great spirits in our past, like Benjamin Franklin, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, he states, have come back, reincarnated, back in this time period to help us out and create a better planet, a better country, and a better planet. His research is absolutely fascinating, and I'm so sorry that Walter couldn't come on today, but I want us to take a minute now and just send love and light to Walter so he does feel better and he can heal up now. He's in a hospital now in San Francisco, and I just want to send him lots of love and light from everyone around the world. He's a wonderful man. He will come on the show again when he feels better. My good friend Scott Lemriel, who's I had planned to bring him on actually next week, so I moved him up to this hour. Will be coming on instead. He's written a wonderful new book. He'll be telling everyone about that, as well as his contacts from the Galactic Alliance. He's on the air now, but we'll bring him on in just a minute. I just want to thank everyone for listening today, and to tell everyone briefly that I will be at the Lavandera Massage tomorrow in Friday Harbor from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Giving readings. And if you'd like to come over for a reading, please do. However, first, if you can let me know you're coming so I can schedule you in. My email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or my telephone number is area code 509-750-9793, or you can also call this number, which is toll-free in the United States and Canada, at 1-888-879-8339. After that, on Sunday, January 17th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., I'll be giving a presentation on the Moto Peace Project at Banyan Books in Vancouver, followed by another presentation at Alfred Webert's home on January 18th, Monday, in Vancouver, Canada, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Both events are free and open to the public. I will be giving away the Emoto Peace Project children's books and the new beautiful 2016 Emoto Peace Project calendar for donations at both events. And I have a lot more events and things planned. If you'd like, just go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on events, and you'll see all the different things I've got planned this year. And with that, I'd like to bring my good friend Scott on the line. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Ted. Now, it's always a delight for me to come on whenever you need me to come on the show.
Well, I felt really bad when I talked to Walter earlier today before going on air, and I told him we'd say a little prayer for him. And would you mind asking your friends from out of town maybe to help him?
Yeah, I've done that. When you were talking, we had Torelli, and people don't know who he is, but he's mm-hmm. a very benevolent being. He's not from Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there overlooking this man, so the best can come about from his situation.
Wonderful, wonderful. And as you said that, the light in this studio has really gotten beautiful, beautiful white light. I like to call it angelic light, and I'm saying that because outside the window here, it's kind of a cloudy day here in Seattle.
Yeah.
We get a lot of rain, and it's always nice when the spirits and the angels come in, and they share all their beautiful light here in the studio, and everything lights up.
He is certainly like that. He's in that category, but beyond that, though, but...
Sure.
Could you tell me that man's name again in the hospital in San Francisco?
Sure. His name is Walter, and his last name is spelled S-E-M-K-I-W. Simcoe, I believe it is.
Simcoe. That, I just needed that. I passed that on. So that's good. That's, I got the first name. I didn't get the last one.
Wonderful man. I wish him well and hope he feels better. I'll bring him on as soon as he's feeling better to do
Fascinating Fascinating stuff you were telling me that he's into. I'll be looking forward to knowing more about him.
Well, he's written three books, including Born Again, Return of the Revolutionaries, that's American Revolutionaries, and Origin of the Soul, and The Purpose of Reincarnation, with the past lives of Jesus. And so he's documented cases where, for example, people have been able to speak in different languages, in foreign tongues, and sometimes in alien languages, of which it's not from this planet. Their soul clearly is from somewhere else.
Well, it's clear we'll cross paths, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. He's a wonderful man. He's in San Francisco. You're in Los Angeles, so it's not that far.
No, not really.
Not really. So sometime perhaps we could all have lunch together.
Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Scott, I know that things are the timelines has changed. That we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. I know that we have to do the work, though. It's not going to be handed to us on a silver platter. But I know that you're doing everything you can to make a difference. And I know that you've come out with a new book. Could you tell my listeners a little bit about that book?
Yes, I will. As you know, probably your listeners, or they may, new listeners, aware of the Say-Raise Agenda, which is the first book I put out, is in its final fourth edition.
Right.
I wanted to mention that briefly.
Okay.
And it has a series of 53 pages, an extensive technique section in the back of that book, and it's spelled S-E-R-E-S and pronounced Say-Raise, as if it was spelled S-A-Y hyphen R-A-Y-S. And the techniques in the back really are designed to help people explore the hidden truth revealed in the book, to begin to use a special vibratory word to connect over a relatively short period of time, having their own direct experiences with what's revealed in that book. The new book, called The Emerald Doorway, is the first book of the Parallel Time Trilogy, and it was published December 5th, so very recently.
Wonderful.
And in fact, this is the first radio show I'll be on to announce that publication.
Mm-hmm.
And that book is quite different from the Saver's Agenda. They're connected together through a special vibratory word we can get into later. But it's more about revealing. It's a fiction story, but it's entirely based upon my direct exploration of the past time track, the hidden past time track,
mm-hmm.
for Earth and our solar system. I think I've spent more than 40 years at that.
Mm-hmm.
And those books were written before the Saver's Agenda, but they had to start to come out after the Saver's Agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And that book is more about the hidden history of Earth and our solar system, polar shifts, Lemurian Atlantis, extraterrestrial involvement, benevolent, malevolent, and how that's all connected then and now. So it will be really a really fun read for people. There's over 30 illustrations in the book, and people really can go on quite a journey to begin to, awaken or uncover much of what they used to know that they can't access right now about their own history long ago.
Sure, sure. Wow, wonderful, wonderful. Well, Scott, there is something very interesting. I think you told me yesterday about Atlantis, that the main Atlantean civilization, according to your friends from out of town, that major civilization existed 35,000 years ago.
It was destroyed then.
Okay, it was destroyed then. Okay, but there was a part that was left over that survived, and that lasted till 12,500 years ago. Is that right?
Not in my knowledge. I know there is information out there that people think they try to place the destruction of Atlantis biblical or pre-biblical. It's really mm-hmm. before that.
Okay, all right.
From my information, I can share from my own experience and looking at the world from outside and looking down the time track with friends who really saw it and know it.
Sure.
Back at the time of Lemuria, many people have heard about this ancient continent. It was more 100,000 years ago was when it was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
There were six ice ages in 600,000 years on this planet. The scientists still don't understand how that works,
because
everything else they talk about is relative to theory.
Sure.
But back then, Atlantis, what people call Atlantis today, was a colony of Lemuria,
mm-hmm.
and the huge continent of you could basically see how big the Lemurian continent was by tracing out the Ring of Fire
mm-hmm.
from North and South America, across the ocean, up through Indonesia and China and the Kamchatka-Russia Peninsula and back across through Alaska. That whole volcanic ring
mm-hmm.
is basically the structure of what Lemuria was, very big.
Mm-hmm.
On the opposite side of the planet was mm-hmm. another continent, two-thirds its size, centered over the equator,
mm-hmm.
and it was a colony.
Okay.
Both were destroyed when the poles flipped back then.
Interesting.
Except for this one 500-mile square island, volcanic island, which after many thousands of years became the colonizing, new colonizing power on Earth, the Atlantis most people have an access to through Edgar Cayce, mostly.
Sure.
And in his life, I believe he said that he could only, the furthest he could go back in the time track was 35,000 years to the destruction of that island.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And he was very accurate. So that developed over 70,000 plus years, and through the mysteries of science was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is just myth and that kind of thing. But it really occurred.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know I've been to Maui before, some years ago, and on the south side of the mountain on Maui, I've read where there are stones left over from an ancient civilization. I'm not sure, is that Lemuria there, or is
that
it
That would be Lemurian, yeah.
Okay, Lemuria, okay.
Many Hawaiian shamans know about their connection to that continent.
Okay, fascinating, fascinating,
yeah.
Fascinating.
I think what the Emerald Door will do for people as an adventure story, something they can go through, it's designed to stimulate what I call deliberately suppressed in the subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Memory people brought into this life of what they used to know that has been taken from them without their consent or awareness.
Sure.
It's a long story. We don't have to get into how that was done.
Sure.
But the main thing is that all of that is reversible.
Well, I think people across the planet are waking up, and certainly they're waking up. And that's the purpose of my show, and certainly I think your work too, Scott, where you're trying to raise vibration. And by informing people, and with the knowledge is power, of course, and with that knowledge, people can help determine their future in a benevolent and really wonderful way instead of, in a good way.
One of the things, you're right, Ted, and I agree completely. One of the things I endeavor to do at radio shows and in personal presentations at seminars around the world is to share with people special techniques that work primarily through the pineal gland, the center of the brain, a contact point between here, other worlds, where they go at night when they leave their body, when it's asleep, other realities, other planets, other beings. And I share with them techniques that are arranged to provide a certain protection, that no negative power or energy or being can penetrate. So when they're working with it, I share with them how they can begin to explore deliberately hidden truth in the privacy of their own home, in their own psyche, and begin to awaken that stuff, which they just always on the tip of their tongue. They know something was done. It's not right down here.
Sure, right, right.
And they want to recover it. And I share with them the way that they can begin to exercise or put their own creative effort into, it's kind of like giving permission.
Yeah, sure.
To other beings who are benevolent to help them. And that permission has to be given. So it's important that people do a little bit of these spiritual exercises themselves.
Scott, if you don't mind, I'd like to come back to planet Earth for a second.
And
give you a couple situations and what Ambassador Trillian is here, isn't he? I'm picking that.
He's very much here, yes.
Wonderful. Hi, Ambassador Trillian. Thank you so much for coming here, saying you're welcome.
I mentioned I recently just acquired a person who was very fascinated with the Sayers agenda, has taken upon herself, she's in Czechoslovakia, to draw images, Torellian, because I can sketch, but I haven't done it in years. And I worked with her for over a period of several months, and she got him right. So I'll be able to provide you with an image of him soon, Ted.
Well, if you could, I'll post it on my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. And I know people would be really interested to see what Ambassador Torellian looks
bet.
Like.
And I will send that to you later today.
I wanted to ask you about a couple of things, and I'll try to put this in as positive light as possible. But up here in the northwest around the Seattle-Puget Sound area, the U.S. Navy has been doing quite a few things, which a lot of people are very upset about.
Mm-hmm.
One of their projects, which they started a few years ago, was testing a new sonar system, which in the process of testing it actually kills dolphins and whales.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing. The second thing that they've been doing is testing their new jets. They're called Growler jets. And the problem, people don't have a problem with national defense, and they don't have a problem, I don't think most people have a problem with the new jets, except the decibel range on these new jets is about 150 decibels, and so when they fly over, you can have severe ear damage and even heart attacks. The third thing that they're doing is they'll be starting this here, I believe, this weekend. They're overtaking 68 different beaches around the Pacific Ocean and the San Juan Islands and Puget Sound. And they're taking over private property as well for their training, for their Navy SEAL training. And there's no notice, virtually no notice. I think they gave people a day notice. But again, people, you know, I think
Did you say they were using eminent domain to temporarily confiscate the beachfront properties of some private people?
Yeah. They said they're going to be doing that, and a lot of people are very upset, and a lot of upset, and people just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just don't know about it, because I don't think it's been in the media much anyway. And I was wondering, rather than getting, you know, I mean, I know there are activists out there, and they probably want to file lawsuits against the Navy and whatnot, but what would you do? I mean, if you wanted to turn the situation around?
Well, the first reaction most human beings are conditioned to respond like is to be angry,
mm-hmm.
to get pissed off, pardon the language, to seek revenge or retribution. And this is something that I try to share with people right away. If they want to get separated, detached from those kinds of influences,
mm-hmm.
it's important not to get angry and throw fingers and be really upset about this stuff,
right?
And attack, throw arrows at the government or the military or whatever. Because in reality, tyrants use that technique to keep people angry at them. You don't know who the tyrants are because they're hidden behind classified arenas. But
mm-hmm.
it just keeps people more controllable. It's far better, and
mm-hmm.
I find this in my own experience,
mm-hmm.
to send light and love. I use the special vibratory word hue.
Okay.
Which sends up a vibration in the cranium through the pineal gland, and it allows you to channel or be connected to very benevolent energies that have no negative in them.
Okay.
And that comes through those people. So the best thing I would say would be to send this very special vibratory hue, it's like a pure prayer,
mm-hmm.
out towards the military people and the people that give them the orders in Washington.
Okay.
Because they need help along the line of not abusing power more than we do.
Sure.
And
that
in this
sense.
Way, people become a constructive, positive channel. And it puts an energy through them and away from them. Instead of them being the effect of this stuff and upsetting their lives, they become serene and balanced. And the only way a person can really find this out is by trying it.
Well, let's do it now, and we can send it to the Navy here in the Northwest, as well as to the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., sending love and light to them so that they will hopefully make better decisions.
That's the way to do it. Absolutely.
Okay, great, Scott. And Bastard Twillian said he would join in this as well. Could you start off?
I sure will. The best thing for people to do to experience this firsthand, I must say there is also a special spiritual protection that goes along with using this. It's not my words that matter. I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything.
Mm-hmm.
If they try what I share with them, then they begin to have their own experiences, their own awakening
mm-hmm.
about a certain faculty called direct knowing perception
mm-hmm.
begins to surface, and they begin to know for themselves. So it becomes their experience. When they get comfortable, like you're in the radio station, I'm here
mm-hmm.
at my home,
mm-hmm.
we take a couple of deep breaths just to let go of the concerns one may have for the day,
mm-hmm.
whether it's health or money,
mm-hmm.
love, romance, anything at all.
Okay.
Just for now, put it on a shelf. We know it's there, but we're not going to focus on that right now. We're going to put it on a shelf in
all
your
right.
imagination.
All right.
Then imagine someone or something you love and have respect for that you appreciate in your life. It can be your cat,
mm-hmm.
your pet, a daughter's, parents, wives, somebody, anything, even an inanimate object.
Okay.
As long as love is there is the key ingredient. First.
All right. Okay.
Then ask to be shown deliberately hidden truth on a grand, multidimensional scale and the much greater love existing within it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pure prayer.
Okay.
And it doesn't demand anything, but it asks for your own illumination, your own enlightenment to return. And it blesses everything. So if we do that and then send out this you, we take a few breaths. And we send it out in a comfortable tone. Each person has their own tone they can use. And if they can't even sing, they can do it silently in their imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like this. I'll do it once, then we can do it together. You just be very gentle. Don't force anything.
All right.
It's sending out good vibrations and good things to these people who are probably following orders in a way and, you know, maybe abusing some things they shouldn't be abusing. This will help them to become aware of this. So they'll change their direction. It goes like this. You outgoing breath.
Great. Wonderful. I'd also, well, let's do this. And also, too, I know the U.S. Navy's been active in Washington State's spring chemtrails, overpopulated areas. These chemtrails consist of aluminum, barium, strontium, and sulfur, some of which are carcinogenic. I don't know why they're doing it, but they do it.
I know there's two types in my own experience. I won't get into that. The ones they're doing very high up that's
right.
classified.
Right.
Sit up there. They don't drop to the ground. They're doing something which they determine is basically to keep this planet alive. It has to do with global warming.
Well,
now, I'm not saying that what they use is not harmful to people.
Right.
Because anything they put up there that man uses is going to have side effects. But they're not doing it to kill off people, or we'd all be dead already. They've been doing it for decades.
Hmm.
There's another kind of chemtrail I know, Ted, you experienced out there in Moses Lake.
Right.
That is more dirty, kind of. It's lower to the ground with prop jets.
Right.
That's a different thing altogether.
Right.
Fortunately,
right.
very little of that is going on around the planet.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
So I don't want people to be too concerned about this stuff. Yeah, we don't want them doing it.
Right.
But again, whoever is doing it, we need to send them the hue, because that energy that connects through that can actually help change the way they're doing things.
Well,
I myself cannot, but it can.
Well, let's do it now, Scott. I think I'm asking all my listeners around the world, if you can, send love and light to the U.S. Navy and to the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., so they'll make better decisions to actually help humanity.
Yeah. That's really contrary to what most people even think about doing it first,
right.
but it does
exactly.
set them free from being the effect of tyrant controls.
Right.
I'll make that statement because people, well, they need to experience for themselves to know the validity of it. And that's
mm-hmm.
all I ask.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's send this out 3 or 4 times together.
All righty.
You.
Let's do it again.
You.
You. One more time.
You.
You know, every time I do that, Scott, I have this serene, I get this peaceful, calm feeling within me, no matter what.
Yep.
I've used it before, months ago. Sometimes, doesn't happen very often, but sometimes I get stuck in traffic coming to the radio station. I've got minutes to get here, and traffic is bad. And so I'll do the hue, and suddenly all these lanes open up.
It's amazing. I want to say one other thing. The hue is not native to this planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even native to our galaxy.
Mm, okay.
It's primordial. It exists at the beginning of things. It's like the original word. But it's not copyrighted or owned by any organization on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Is it,
there are people who know about it, even disseminate about it, and that's good. But they don't own it or possess it. It was brought here from other worlds. So,
is it?
It's a universal way for people to connect and begin to reverse much that was done to them without their consent or awareness.
Scott, is it the H-U in human, H-U-M-A-N?
It is.
That, oh, that's
Isn't
fascinating.
Isn't that interesting how it's connected to the word human?
Because I was at a spiritual conference in Florida a couple of weeks ago, and somebody came up to me and they said, you know, is human part of the hue? And I thought for a minute, and I thought, you know something, you've got a point. You've got a point.
And people used to be human and you women, because
wow.
I can share this with you.
Uh-huh.
And I don't ask anybody to take my word for this. I don't want them to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Trying to be skeptical, but I say when they try it and begin to work with it a little bit, 10 or 15 minutes a night, over time, they're going to begin to wake up this dormant faculty of direct perception, knowing themselves. And then I don't have to convince anybody of anything.
I wanted to ask you this question because I got a question when I was in Florida. I did a reading for a guy down there, and it was regarding a love relationship. And I told him, I advised him to send love and light to the person he loved, and then also do the hue every night.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to call him back to see how things were doing. Does the hue help in a situation like that?
It will work for the best benefit of everyone concerned.
Okay. Whatever that best benefit
whatever
is.
Whatever that is.
Okay.
And it never works in any negative area.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I wanted to say that the hue, people from other worlds, and there are countless millions of them, people have been kept from knowing about here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Many people are beginning to realize that they've been duped, that they're supposed to be aware of beings from other worlds because they're far more evolved. There's human on other planets.
Sure.
They use this hue to keep from ever acquiring a subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because a normal human is not meant to have one.
Mm.
It's important what I just said.
Fascinating. With that, Scott, I just want to take a quick station announcement that for those who are just tuning in, this is Ted Marr with Out of This World Radio. We're broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM in beautiful Seattle, Washington, in Bellevue, and having a fascinating interview with Scott Lemriel, who's had face-to-face and telepathic contact with the Galactic Alliance for the past 55 years now? I remember it's 54 last year.
Yeah, since I was about three.
Okay, so it's been a while. You've been doing this. That's amazing. One thing I wanted to ask you about, Scott, you have so many interesting things to say. On a normal, so-called normal human planet outside of Earth, how long do people live? And is there poverty and disease? And is money used as a medium of exchange?
Yes. They live at least 1,000 years or more.
Wow, amazing.
Because certain genomes in their DNA have not been turned off like they have people here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I want to state that all of this is irreversible. It's the misuse of extraterrestrial technology that creates this shutting down of people. But it originally was developed to keep people from ever acquiring something subconscious through which they can be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
So they live at least 1,000 years. They have photographic memories. They're telepathic, plus they speak with vocal cords. They look like us, slightly bigger eyes than humans have here.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, we have the similar DNA as they do. There's a little more expanded.
Right.
There are certain treaties that exist between great races out there, mostly benevolent, a few tyrant races, that's been in existence for 500,000 years. And it deals primarily with not only this galaxy and the worlds in it, but planet Earth in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And when people discover more of this themselves, which they can do through the Hue if they wish to,
mm-hmm.
Then they begin to recover a great deal of what they once knew that has been deprived them here. Most people on Earth don't even know how they got here.
Right.
Why they were born, where they come from.
Right, right.
They listen to their teachers and ministers tell them about truth from outside.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they really stay in some form of doubt about the real validity of all this because it's not their own experience.
Right, right.
People are meant to know this stuff for themselves.
Right.
On those worlds, money is illegal. They
money?
Didn't create it. I wouldn't even say it's illegal. They just don't even think about using it.
Could you repeat that, please?
Money is not allowed.
That's amazing.
Because tyrants use it to control people.
Wow.
Think about it. Our money here is just ink on paper. It's not backed by anything.
Wow.
And when people are conditioned to believe it has value,
right.
if you threaten to take it away from them, you
right.
can control them.
There was a really funny post on Facebook a couple days ago, Scott. I'll have to send this to you. But it says that this little piece of paper controls my entire life. And it was a dollar bill where somebody had written on the back of a dollar bill and put a picture of it. And you know,
it's just paper with ink on it.
Yeah, and there's nothing backing it. It used to be backed by gold and silver. Now that's gone even. There's just nothing there. And God we trust.
No.
You know, I don't know if even the bankers trust in God, but anyway.
Well, yeah, they can say whatever they say on the outside, but inside, no. Their God is certainly materialistic, many of them anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's because of the way they've been implanted.
Well, let's say this, all right? Let's say that I'm on a typical benevolent advanced human planet outside of Earth,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hungry, and I want to get a sandwich, or let's say hamburger, or salad.
Yeah, they don't eat them there, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, for my sustenance, do I just walk into a restaurant and say, hey, I'd like some lobster and caviar, or I don't know.
I know your point, but no, you would not end up in a position of hunger at any time in your lifetime anyway.
Okay.
That's not tolerated.
All right. Okay. So
the food, I could say that, like, it's in the Savior's Agenda book. If you mm-hmm. really want to know what a human world's like, it's
right.
revealed there quite
okay.
clearly.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know, the way their government complexes work,
uh-huh.
first of all, they don't have anybody living in centralized cities like this, stacked on top of each other.
Stack and pack. Mm-hmm.
They did once long ago, but they got rid of all that.
Okay, okay.
So, it's like people who have a natural tendency to love farming would mm-hmm. deal with the plant growth and food sources of more varieties of food that have much higher nutritional value
okay.
than plants on Earth.
Okay.
Okay, but they would be the farmers, for lack of a better term, because it's their passion. People are born and grow up there being encouraged by their parents and their government, which are made up of their most spiritually advanced, highly wise people.
Mm-hmm.
They can trust mm-hmm. to run government.
Mm.
There's no taxation.
Mm.
There is no classified system that lies to the people about what they're doing with their
sure.
spacecraft or anything. Everyone
sure.
knows.
Sure. Sure.
People are encouraged to grow up, to manifest in their life
mm-hmm.
with a fiery passion.
Mm-hmm.
That creative thing that there's kindred spirit to them that will help them create new wonderful things that will be a benefit to the people on their planet and the other planets. It's not just mm-hmm. for themselves. So mm-hmm. they grow up with that kind of attitude. A person reaching maybe 10 years old there would have the equivalent of 7 to 10 PhDs of a person on Earth.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I know that from reading, pardon me to interrupt, but years ago I read about the Pleiadian civilization,
mm-hmm.
and I think many of us are seeded from them here. They look like us, and we look like them, I've been told. They're a little mm-hmm. taller, and they have pointy ears, but otherwise they're about
yeah.
the same.
Very similar.
Very handsome people. But they themselves live for about 1,000 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I read, that they actually were in school for the first 70 years of their life.
Yeah, they're basically learning how to become great contributors, creating new things for the benefit of their race, their planet, and many other millions of other world systems.
You know, isn't that amazing? Because 70 years on this planet, you're ready to pick up Social Security and retire, you know, and then maybe live to 80, 90, if you're lucky.
Well, it's another thing I should share with people.
Right.
And again, I don't ask them to take my word for it. Why do that? I'd mm-hmm. rather they have their own experience with awakening to it themselves.
Sure.
Because they once knew it. Mm-hmm. No race on this planet. Now, this might stick in the craw of some archaeologists or geologists, but remember, they mostly work with theory anyway.
Right.
There's not a race on this planet, whether it's Asian, Hispanic, African-American, Arabic, Caucasian, Indian, both in India and American tribes, in Alaska, South America, anywhere
mm-hmm.
that originally evolved here.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't evolve from monkeys or from the primordial swamp, from amoebas that became fish that went to monkeys. No. All the stuff about Neanderthal and all that stuff, it's still theory.
Mm-hmm.
Every single race that's represented here was brought here at one time or another under different scenarios going back almost 50 million years after the dinosaurs were extinct.
Hmm.
And they were representative of the culture of human being that predominantly lived on their world system.
Okay, interesting.
If they were, say, Asian-looking, that the whole world had that type of people on them. If they were African-American, they were beautiful black people.
Right.
And so forth. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if you really start waking this stuff up, it becomes pretty amazing.
What's amazing to me is that the Andromedans who live in the Andromeda Galaxy, they're humans, but they live to about 3,000 years or so, maybe a little longer.
Yeah, right.
But I've been told from Alex Collier, who was an Andromeda contactee, Scott, that...
Right, met him.
Yeah, he's a wonderful guy, that the skin of humans from the Andromeda Galaxy are actually blue or light blue.
Kind of like where the people, the Krishna idea of them being blue kind of came
exactly.
from.
Exactly. And from what I've read is that people originally in Africa came from Andromeda. They were blue-skinned, but over the millennia, because of our sun, the conditions are different, and their skin turned darker and darker to what the skin color is today.
Yeah, these genomes, these genetic structures that produce
right.
the color of skin.
Right.
Ears, whether they're like elves or like us or bigger eyes or,
right.
you know.
Right.
It really all originated out there amongst the stars. Human beings are one of the most ancient races in existence. Mm. They're many billions of years old.
Fascinating.
They didn't just evolve on this planet. Human beings sure. are not in our current form, though
right.
shut down here on Earth
right.
from what they should be, didn't evolve on this planet originally at all.
Well, I have to tell you, too, from what I've read, that people in Asia actually came from Mars, the planet Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was interviewing Randy Kramer a couple of months ago, actually I met him at James Gillian's ranch last summer,
mm-hmm.
and I had had an off-air conversation with him, Scott, and Randy said that he had run into indigenous Martians, and I said, what do they look like? He said, they look just like people from Asia, except they've got pointy ears. And he said that there's two different types of humans who live in the south pole of Mars. Unfortunately, according to Corey Good, Corey said that during the 1950s and 60s, this is a whole other story, but that the Nazis actually, the remnants of the Nazis had made it to Mars with reptilian technology, and they had used fifth-generation nuclear bombs to kill off much of the, not all of them, but much of the Martians on Mars so they could colonize it on their own for these secret space colonies, which in turn now has been been meshed with our own military-industrial complex. And nowadays, I think Corey Good said that there's 7 million humans living on Mars, with another 4 or 5 million on the planet Moon.
There's been a classified space program under the National Security Act, really.
Right.
That has existed since NASA began.
Okay.
So it's run parallel classified.
Right.
That people don't know about, and
right.
It's run ever since they first started shooting people off to go around the orbit of the Earth or go to the Moon, the Apollo program.
Yet we pay for it with our tax dollars.
Yeah,
and don't get any benefits from it. And it's basically a breakaway, from what I understand, a breakaway civilization on another planet, which sounds like sci-fi, but that's what I know. That's what I've been told.
You know, there's so much that people can find out that they need to find out on their own, because the people you interview, and yourself included, begin to find this out through your own experiences.
Right.
And that's all I'm about doing, is helping people to access this kind of awareness within themselves in a safe, protected manner.
Right.
I can't say it any clearer than that.
This is.
I don't comment on Corey Good. I know who he is.
Sure.
Have not met him.
Right.
I was not in the classified space program.
Right.
That he claims to have been, and all of that. I don't perceive that nuclear explosions have gone off under the pole of Earth or on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not here to contest anybody else's information.
Sure.
Because I'm aware that those kinds of things have been stopped. Now, I think Corey Good, if I'm not mistaken, also mentions that much of this kind of diabolical stuff has already been stopped.
That's correct. It has been stopped. And actually, he says that the entire solar system, our solar system, has been quarantined by entities called the Blue Avians, who are part of the Galactic Alliance. They exist in the 6th through the 9th dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad boys can't get out. They're quarantined.
Right. Now you're referring to the reptilian race.
Correct. Yeah, the reptilians.
Those guys, you know, there are certain races, tall whites and grays, that they've had under their dominion for some time.
Right.
The thing that people need to remember, if they can, is that these races, as diabolical as they've been, are not in control of what they're doing. Something was done to them subconsciously to make them the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
I know from my experience, the reptilians long ago, more than 500,000 years ago, were vegetarians.
Oh, fascinating.
And they were twisted into the behavior they have now. So when a person really starts to wake up to this kind of thing, their revenge and anger and all that stuff that makes them so tense just melts away.
Right. Wow.
And you start working with energies that can help change those beings and hidden government and other people that feel they have a need to lie to everybody else. It begins to change them in a good way. It begins to bring them back to once they were once.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I always encourage people to not get into that anger band, because it'll just keep them down.
And that's really good advice too. And so if you do run into somebody negative or you have a negative situation, always try to take the high road and send them lots of love and light. I know that's difficult.
It's difficult to remember to do it, but I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
If someone runs into a negative situation, a negative extraterrestrial, somebody in government, something, you know, here that's negative and thinks they're self-righteously doing the right thing, and you cross paths with them, the first thing you should do, maybe silently or out loud if you need to, just start hewing, and it will resolve that situation instantly. It's a big claim, I know.
Yeah, right.
But when a person gets into trouble and they do this, they're going to find some remarkable experience comes out of it.
Well, you know, one of the things that Walter Simkue has said in his books, and if he was on today, I would ask him this question, that he has said that we are all one. And through his reincarnation studies, he's found, for example, people of the Jewish faith and in the Middle East who passed on and they became Arabs, Muslims. And men, people who were once men became women in another lifetime. And so you experience all these different ways of experiencing life as a human. And he said, very profound in his books, Walter said that that we are all one. And if you realize that we're all one, then you won't you're much less likely, I think, to express anger towards someone. Or abuse life or be negative because you're abusing yourself. You're being negative to yourself.
Well, so, you know, everything is connected.
Correct. That's
long
true.
Long ago, there was a planet in our solar system called, people refer to today on the internet as Maldek.
Maldek, yeah. That was just beyond Mars.
It was blown apart with a single bomb, a single device
mm-hmm.
that chain reacts with matter.
Wow.
There were three major races there that were destroyed. Many of them are incarnated on Earth today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was 6 million years ago. But the thing of it is, the benevolent races, the extraterrestrial races then, had this overriding law that they don't interfere
right.
with cultures. Yet tyrants will deliberately, covertly interfere with cultures just
sure.
to get resources and to control people.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
It's not a fair playing field. Back then, mm-hmm. they refused to intervene to stop that world from being destroyed.
Mm.
And it bit them in the you-know-what mm-hmm. ever since, for half a million years. They had to pay a karmic price for not getting involved.
Oh, interesting.
That's something they recently recognized
mm-hmm.
themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with Earth is in far more important in regards to its destruction, how many billions, hundreds of billions of beings it would affect
mm-hmm.
that are not on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to allow this place to go up in nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
People can forget that. I know it's a lot to say. But even though the nuclear threat is there, they're not being allowed to use them, and they will not
look,
be allowed to.
Look, I just want to footnote that real quick, that Ambassador Twellingen has said that during the 1980s, especially 70s and 80s, there were 8 specific instances where they stepped in and actually shut down the launch sequence of both—
12.
Oh, 12. Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
12, I knew it was a lot, 12 different times.
No, they didn't intervene past the point because there's an off-world treaty regarding how you interfere with this Earth. If you're
right.
benevolent, you don't. If you're tyrant, you do.
Right, right. But what
which is why we have such a negative situation here. So that's being in the process of being reversed.
But they shut down down these nuclear sites.
They didn't interfere with government. They didn't interfere
right.
with the military. They just
right.
ships would fly over the launch command centers here in the Soviet Union and just shut down their computers.
That's
and
amazing.
Then fly away. And then when they were in the distance, they'd turn them back on with the launch mode shut down. It's like saying, do whatever you want, but that, forget it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it was the same with Fukushima, too, because I remember back in 2014, there was a tremendous plume, huge plume of radioactive water coming
oh, yeah.
from Fukushima.
Oh, yeah.
Bullseye Seattle with 10 times more radiation than all the bombs dropped since Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
The Fukushima, from off-world perspective, the Fukushima
mm-hmm.
disaster was 100 times worse than Chernobyl.
Wow, amazing.
And I think over time, 25 million people died from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet, some have died from Fukushima, make no mistake, but it hasn't done what it could have done in killing off all life on Japan, Russia, China, Western United States. It didn't do that.
Right.
And as you know, Ted, we've monitored this situation, and there was a time when a huge plume of this radioactive material was going to come ashore from
right.
the ocean.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think we measured, was it 60 rads and climbing at one point?
Oh, it was extremely high. I had Major Ed Dames on my show in April of 2014 or 15, and he said that, according to his sources, that he's a good remote viewer, but he thought that Seattle would become uninhabitable by this year.
Yeah, no.
And
that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And as you know, that radiation was neutralized. It was gone.
Completely. And Governor Brown, to his credit,
that's right.
California issued a statement from his office in June of 2015
mm-hmm.
saying that, oh my goodness, all this radiation is gone. Isn't that wonderful? And the thing is, the most amazing thing is not only his announcement, Scott, but the fact that that press release was only aired within the borders of California, not
right,
Oregon.
It didn't go nationwide. Nope. Isn't
not,
that amazing?
Not Canada, not anywhere else in the world.
Nope.
Just in California. But the radiation is, I mean, I think the Galactics, the message I got from them last, was it July or June? They said that they wanted people on this planet to ask for help with Fukushima, because they can come in and clean that everything up and just snap your fingers in an instant.
Well, I can share with you from my own experience with benevolent extraterrestrials and their master teachers,
mm-hmm.
Terrellians just one, is one of them,
mm-hmm.
that they have been directly involved in neutralizing many things that would have destroyed life on this planet,
mm-hmm.
short of landing and just stopping everybody like a tyrant would and boss people around. They don't want to do that.
Sure.
But I can say that they are underway to make changes in the mass of people here and in the hidden government that is not the elected government that runs things, mm-hmm. and in their off-world allies that are tyrants. If you mm-hmm. want to solve a problem on this planet like that permanently,
right.
which has never happened here on this world mm-hmm. yet, but mm-hmm. is underway, you have to solve the bigger tyrant problem that's outside in our galaxy,
right.
or it will just come back here covertly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what's underway now, which is the reason I wrote the Saviors Agenda and spent so much time and trouble getting a fourth edition out, hiring an editor, getting rid of typos, and doing all this. Like, I'm starting over now with the fourth edition with all the techniques in the back and the Emerald Doorway series.
Scott, before I forget, Master Trillin just asked me a question, and I'd like to share this on air.
Sure.
He said that they would be happy to do some more cleaning up around Fukushima. All we have to do is ask them to do it.
Well, you and I can ask Torellian and to my way in English would be called the Galactic Interdimensional Alliance of Free Worlds.
Well, let's ask them now to step in and clean up the radiation around Fukushima and across the Pacific. And
Torellian just is telling me, and you can confirm this, Ted. He says mm-hmm. we got it.
Okay.
They get it very quickly. They're telepathic. So.
Okay. And also, too, I want to ask all my listeners in more than 60 countries around the world to also send the same message to the Galactic Alliance and asking them to come in and help. And I'm getting
thing to do.
I want the power of I know, you know, working together, there's nothing we can't accomplish to make this a better planet. All
Absolutely
of us joining
correct.
Together.
Yep.
Instead of fighting and war and disharmony, we need love, gratitude, respect, and harmony. And when we work together...
We need more than that, though. If just the 7 billion people, mostly unconscious on this planet, as to mm-hmm. who they really are,
mm-hmm.
that isn't enough to change the negative direction this world is headed. It's going to take hundreds of billions of beings who have never been part of this trap from outside mm-hmm. to deliberately work with us. I wouldn't say intervene, but help make a change here on this planet that has never occurred before.
Right, right.
That's a massive amount of highly evolved beings, technically and spiritually, that can really change this place beyond people who don't remember how to know things directly for themselves.
And I want to mention this as well. I've mentioned this before, but I have been in touch with Michel de Nostradamus on the other side.
Right.
And all of his old quatrains predicting Armageddon and Third World War, he's taking his quill and his little black pen, he's scratched them out, crossed them out.
Yeah, because people, when a guy looks like Nostradamus or somebody makes predictions several thousand years ago about an Armageddon, the end of the world, from their perspective then, looking at the trends, off-world influences involved, it would have shown a destruction of the world.
But
this is 216, and we haven't had a destruction of this
world. Well, what it is that Mr. Nostradamus realizes that, and he's sitting there in his study, and the year I'm getting is December 1540. It's cold. He's in France, and it's kind of smoky, and he's in this den. He's got his burgundy cap on and a burgundy shawl, red shawl, and he's sitting there. And he started scribbling something now, but it's a blank slate with his quill in his hand for the future. And that's one of the things I object to, because I do listen to other shows, and they occasionally have people on talking about Nostradamus' prophecies. And the problem with their predictions is that it's based upon the old timeline, which
that's
is no longer valid anymore.
You're hitting upon something very important, and I know in my work it is a primary focus, is to get across to people that the prophesied destructive destiny of this planet has been significantly, permanently altered in
That's
the last
right.
4.5 years.
That's right. It has. Mm-hmm.
Fortunately for all of us, we might as well get in a truck and drive off the nearest cliff and save ourselves the trouble, so to speak.
Yeah.
But, you know,
but
no,
it's going to be
a bit of a struggle, but the world is headed for a very bright change.
Right. Right.
And it's going to be very unanticipated and unexpected by most people. But they are going to experience it. There will come a time in the not too distant future, next few years, when every single person on this planet, without exception, will know extraterrestrials exist. That's got to be a pretty prominent event.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that wouldn't be from me or you telling them. They'll know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely. I want to tell everyone, too, and you, Scott, that a week from today I'll be having Emma Louise Hansen from Norway, Trondheim, Norway. I think you met her. We met her.
I did. She and her friend came up to the hotel room when
we were
there, Ted, in Norway, where I conducted a presentation there, and you did, and had your radio show from there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did meet her, and I think you said she is most of her life in contact with Andromedan people.
Well, actually, she It's amazing to tell you this, but she says that she's human now, but before this life she was a princess in Andromeda, and she volunteered to come to Earth to raise consciousness, and she has a lot of messages. She's in the middle of writing a book now, and she has a lot of messages for humanity directly from the Andromedans, who are part of the Galactic Alliance. And they're very highly advanced. They're at least 50,000 years ahead of us technologically and at least 30,000 years ahead of us spiritually as well.
Oh, yeah. I think you said you were going to have me on 1 hour and her on another hour or together the next week. But
right.
Since I'm on now, maybe you could bring me on briefly or I could call in and we could have a little chat.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I can get you on. Sure, sure. But
something
I just
like that. I don't want to interfere with her presentation, but I think I can help it.
Yeah, well, what's like her? Master Twillingen is telling me now that your friends are her friends, and her friends are your friends, and are my friends. I mean, we're all. It's a small world.
Yeah,
it's a small world. So you know people that she knows, and she knows people that you know, and so it's. And you're all saying the same message too. But
yeah,
it's going to be interesting and fun at the same time to bring her on a week from today. She's in the middle of writing a book. Actually, I've been told the book already exists in the spirit world. She just needs to sit down and write it, and I. That's the message I got as well recently, that the book that I'm supposed to write is already written in the spirit world.
I want to offer my help for what it can be for her to get her book published and for you to write, and I'll encourage you to,
okay, thank
to
you.
Get that done, because
yeah.
I think I know how to do that. But I think we're going to be going to a conference in Finland.
That's right.
And she may be invited there. I know I am, and you're going to.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
In May.
Yeah, yeah. And that, along with some wonderful Native American elders and shaman from the Hopi Reservation, Hopi Tribe will be coming. We have some incredible people, including Professor Gerald Pollack, one of the world's most famous water scientists, who will be coming to Finland as well. Professor Irvin Laszlo, who's a famous scientist, a very spiritual man. He'll be coming there as well. And the common theme of that conference will be how to make this planet a better place.
Sure.
And I can't wait.
It's going to be kind of a private invite for a couple of days for shamans, meaning people who know.
Right.
So we'll use that for that meaning, and not just the one that most people think of it as just healer. But and then we'll be open to the public for 2 days after that too.
That's right. And it's posted on my website already, along with the. The venue address is at the, it's at the Corpelli, let me look at it here. It's the Corpelli Hotel. The website is www.kasinking.org/PASINPAUL in Finland, just outside the Helsinki airport. So if you're flying in from abroad, you fly into Helsinki and it's maybe 20 kilometers away. It's very close.
I think they can find the information on your website, can't they?
Yeah, it's there. It's all linked up.
Okay.
We're getting close to the end of the hour. Boy, this has gone fast. You know, when you're having a good time, life goes by fast, I guess. Sometimes.
I wanted to mention people can get the Theria's Agenda, the fourth edition with the techniques and the hue in it, and the first book of the Parallel Time Trilogy, The Emerald Doorway, at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
You know, they can get those now if they want them.
Okay.
They're not too expensive or anything, and they will really help people. And they can go to my website at paralleltime.com and find all this out. Click on the main link on the front page. It goes to a page with a big blow-up of the front and back cover of both books.
Okay.
And all the links directly to the retailers for e-books or print books are right there, so they won't even have to hunt for
them. I just want to say, too, Scott, that we've just got a little over a minute left. Tomorrow I'll be giving readings from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Lavandera Massage in Friday Harbor, Washington, beautiful San Juan Island. Then the next day on January 17th, Sunday, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll be giving a wonderful presentation on the Emoto Peace Project and the work of Dr. Emoto at Banyan Books in Vancouver, Canada, followed by a second presentation, again on the Emoto Peace Project, at Alfred Weber's home on January 18th in Vancouver from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Mr. Weber's a wonderful man. He's a famous Canadian lawyer and has a lot of experience with extraterrestrials and UFOs. For more information, just please go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and click on events. I also have lots more events scheduled for this year, including my Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held June 10th to the 13th.
And I'll be coming to that.
You'll be coming to that. One thing that's going to be very nice, after the conference, the first day is free. The second 2 days is $197. The fourth day will be a demonstration by Michiko Hayashi and possibly another gentleman named Yoshi on the Hado machines, which are instrumental in curing illnesses. We're running out of time, Scott, and I'm so sorry. We're at the end of the hour. Thank you so much for coming on today, and everyone, I hope you have a beautiful weekend and a really happy new year. Bye-bye, everyone.